Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today we're going to continue our series of Minor Prophets for Interesting Times, and we're going to Zechariah today, a brand new study. So, with all of that, let's go to a little background information on Zechariah, the times he lived, before we jump into the text. Zechariah's prophecies took place during the reign of Darius the Great, and he was contemporary with Haggai in a post-exilic world after the fall of Jerusalem. Remember, the Jews were exiled to Babylon for the 7 years. Desolations period. Ezekiel and Jeremiah wrote prior to the fall of Jerusalem while continuing to prophesy in the early exile period. Scholars believe Ezekiel, with his blending of ceremony and vision, visionary works of Zechariah 1 through 8, with his blending of ceremony and vision, heavily influenced the visionary works of Zechariah. Zechariah is specific about dating his writing. And that would be about 520 to 518 BC on the Roman calendar. During the exile, many Judahites and Benjaminites were taken to Babylon, where the prophets told them to make their home, suggested they would spend a long period of time there. Eventually, freedom did come to many Israelites when Cyrus the Great overtook the Babylonians in 539 BC. In 538, the famous Edict of Cyrus was released, and the first return took place under Sheshbazar. After the death of Cyrus, Darius consolidated power and took office in 522 BC. His system divided the different colonies of the empire into easily manageable districts overseen by governors. Zerubbabel comes into the story, appointed by Darius as governor over the district of the province of Judah, or Yehud Medinata in the Babylonian tongue. Under the reign of Darius, Zechariah also emerged, centering on the rebuilding of the temple. Unlike the Babylonians, the Persian Empire went to great lengths to keep cordial relations between vassal and lord. The rebuilding of the temple was encouraged by the leaders of the empire in hopes that it would strengthen the authorities in local context. This policy was good politics on the part of the Persians, and the Jews viewed it as a blessing from God. The name Zechariah means God remembered. Not much is known about Zechariah's life other than what may be inferred from the book. It has been speculated that his ancestor Iddo was the head of a priestly family who returned with Zerubbabel, and that Zechariah may himself have been a priest as well as a prophet. This is supported by Zechariah's interest in the temple and the priesthood, and from Iddo's preaching in the books of the Chronicles. And I think from there we are going to jump into the text itself. And I'll be using the ESORD, and I'm going to be using heavily leaning on Matthew's commentary, because of the archaic structure of the book itself. It's not easy to understand, to put it plainly, but Matthew Henry, going through his commentaries, as I have in my prior study of the book, I find very helpful. Anyway, let's jump into the text. Okay, Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do to us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. God's almighty power and sovereign dominion should engage and encourage sinners to repent and turn to him. It is very desirable to have the Lord of hosts for our friend, and very dreadful to have him for our enemy. Review what is past and observe the message God sent by his servants, the prophets, to your fathers. Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. Be persuaded to leave your sins as the only way to prevent approaching ruin. What has become of our fathers and of the prophets that preached to them? They are all dead and gone. Here they were, in the towns and countries where we live, passing and repassing in the same streets, dwelling in the same houses, trading in the same shops and exchanges, worshiping God in the same places. But where are they? When they died, there was not an end of them. They are in eternity, in the world of spirits, the unchangeable world to which we hasten apace. Where are they? Those of them who lived and died in sin are in torment. Those who lived and died in Christ are in heaven. If we live and die as they did, we shall be with them shortly and eternally. If they minded not their own souls, is that a reason why their posterity should ruin theirs also? The prophets are gone. Christ is a prophet that lives forever, but all other prophets have a period put to their office. Oh, that this consideration had its due weight, that dying ministers are dealing with dying people about their never dying souls, and an awful eternity upon the brink which both are standing. In another world, both we and our prophets shall live forever. To prepare for that world ought to be our great care in this. The preachers died, and the hearers died, but the word of God died not. Not one jot or tittle of it fell to the ground, for he is righteous. Continuing in Zechariah, verse 7, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. And then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies, and my house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall choose Jerusalem. The prophet saw a dark, shady grove hidden by hills. This represented the low, melancholy condition of the Jewish church. The man, like a warrior, sat on a red horse in the midst of this shady myrtle grove. Though the church was in a low condition, Christ was present in the midst, ready to appear for the relief of his people. Behind him were angels ready to be employed by him, some in acts of judgment, others of mercy, others in mixed events. Would we know something of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, we must apply, not to angels, for they themselves are learners, but to Christ himself. He is ready to teach those humbly desirous to learn the things of God. The nations near Judah enjoyed peace at that time, but the state of the Jews was unsettled, which gave rise to the pleading that followed. But mercy must only be hoped for through Christ. His intercession for his church prevails. The Lord answered the angel, this angel of the covenant, with promises of mercy and deliverance. All the good words and comfortable words of the gospel we receive from Jesus Christ, as he received them from the Father, in answer to the prayer of his blood, and his ministers are to preach them to all the world. The earth sat still and was at rest. It was not uncommon for the enemies of God to be at rest in sin while his people are enduring correction, harassed by temptation, disquieted by fears of wrath, or groaning under oppression and persecution. Here are the predictions which had reference to the revival of the Jews after the captivity, but those events were shadows of what shall take place in the church after the oppression of the New Testament Babylon is ended. Then I lifted up my eyes, Zechariah 1:18, and saw and beheld four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then I said, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. The enemies of the church threaten to cut off the name of Israel. They are horns, emblems of power, strength, and violence. The prophet saw them so formidable that he began to despair of the safety of every good man and the success of every good work. But the Lord showed him four workmen empowered to cut off these horns. With an eye of sense, we see the power of the enemies of the church. Look which way we will, the world shows us that, but it is only with an eye of faith that we see it safe. The Lord shows us that when God has work to do, he will raise up some to do it, and others to defend it, and to protect those employed in doing it. What cause there is to look up in love and praise to the Holy and Eternal Spirit, who has the same care over the present and eternal interests of believers, by the Holy Word bringing the church to know the wonderful things of salvation. And that ends chapter 1 of Zechariah. And we see that our good friend Matthew Henry, who we're leaning on, we could call this basically, I should title this, the book of Zechariah according to Matthew Henry and his interpretation of it, because I'm using his commentary fully to discern it. Now, I agree with Matthew Henry that the church, the ecclesia, and I've stated this before, it has been existent since the first congregation, and the first sacrifice was instituted to the first congregation. And you could read about that way back in the Bible. Go back to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and you'll find there a high priest who makes a sacrifice for Adam and Eve, the first congregation. Remember, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of them. And I would say that the great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, was in the midst of them. For he made the sacrifice, and he clothed them with the animal skins. And the just have always lived by faith. Adam and Eve received a death sentence. You shall surely die. And that was the death sentence, and the same death sentence that we are all born with. And we follow through Adam and Eve, and through their son Shem, who it was proclaimed when he was born that God has given us a seed to take the place of righteous Abel. And so we see the seed line that reaches all the way to the Messiah, this ecclesia of the seed line of faith. And of course, there were offshoots from the seed line that departed from it and then merged back into it that we see throughout the Old Testament leading up to the Messiah. So we see a seed line of faith. We see the church, the ecclesia, the spiritual Israel, the true line of faith, apart from the visible church or national Israel of Old Testament times. So it was before Christ, so it is now since Christ. We still have a national or visible church on earth, a visible nation of God or city of God on the earth, the entire visible church, the one that the Messiah himself calls the many, that he will say to, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you," a reference Matthew chapter 7. And there are those, and this is the true ecclesia, the just that walk by faith, equivalent to the just that walked by faith before Christ, the true ecclesia, the true spiritual Israel, the few that are walking the narrow way that leads to life. So you have the true church, the true ecclesia, the true spiritual Israel, all the way from Adam and Eve. And yes, they were the true Israel all the way from Adam and Eve because they trusted in the Messiah that seed line of faith from that ecclesia, from the true Israel that would be brought forth. And so this is what I agree with Matthew Henry when he makes the comparison and the parallel. And he takes the history, the account of history, gives us an accurate record of it, and he gives us an application for the time that we live in, because there is application for the time we live in. So let's pay close attention to the words of Matthew Henry and his interpretation and his explanation or exposition of this text of this minor prophet for the interesting times that he lived in and for the interesting times that we live in. And we will continue with chapter 2 when we get back from the break. You're listening to Cross the Border. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of resources, and also join me every week, Wednesday right now, 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I do a live prophecy reality broadcast, and you can actually participate in the show. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.